Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymn their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I am. And bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, as the case may be. If you have your emblems prepared, we'll observe the Lord's Supper or communion in a few moments. What is communion or the Lord's Supper? To the Christian, it's the remembering of the body and the blood of our Savior until he returns. To the non-Christian, it's a learning opportunity. They may ask, who is this that the Christians are remembering and why? The who, of course, is Jesus. And the why, he instructs us to remember him until he returns. We have the bread that represents his body, and we have the wine that represents his blood. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we are grateful that it's you love us and you sent your Son to this earth to be a sacrifice. Jesus, we thank you that you bore our sins in your body. And as we take this bread, we ask that you help us to remember of that great sacrifice. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. The body of Christ.
Lord, be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. be there for me, dear Lord. Lord, you be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord, you'll
be there. Lord, you be there for me when I fall.
Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord,
you'll be there.
Lord, you be there for me when I fall. Be there for me when I call. Be there for me, dear Lord,
you'll be there.
Lord, you be there for me when I fall. Be there for me.
You would pray with me again. Father, we again thank you for your eternal love, your never-ending love, the love that Jesus had for us and that he allowed the blood to be drained from his body. And Father, as we take this cup, we ask that you bless it, that we would help to be remember the sacrifice that Jesus made in our behalf. In his name we ask it. Amen. The blood of Christ. The scriptures tell us that as often as we observe the communion, we remember the death of Jesus until he returns.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand. And I will call upon your name.
Keep my eyes
above the waves.
When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
For I am yours, and you are mine.
Abounds the deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name. I am yours, and you are mine. Oh,
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name.
Keep my eyes
above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in
I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine.
Good morning, church. Welcome again to our services here with the Kanawha City Church of Christ. We want to begin by just reminding you that here in a few weeks, we're going to be getting back to our in-person services. That's going to happen on September 13th. So plan on joining us if you can. And if you feel comfortable with that, if you don't feel comfortable, if you're not quite ready to do that, we're going to keep putting stuff out on this online format so that everybody can continue to participate with us. Now, we've been, for the past several weeks, we've been going through a series in the Old Testament where we've been looking at the nature of God being presented in the Old Testament. Last week, we kind of finished our way through the book of Deuteronomy. It's kind of a good breaking point. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take kind of a three-week break from that. And for the next 3 weeks, you're going to see us back in this format that we've been in before. Jacob and I together and talking with you about a few things. And so maybe, Jacob, at this time, maybe mm-hmm. you want to talk about what it is that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks.
Yeah, so about this time every year, we try to honor our teachers and our parents of students that are going back to school. And so I believe we're about 2.5 weeks out from returning to school. I think they return on September 8th. Now, teachers have already returned.
Right.
And they're kind of learning what this new system's going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, you've got in-person teaching, you've got e-learning, you've got virtual learning. You've just got so many different aspects of teaching. And so we want to go ahead with these 3 weeks to pray for and kind of walk you through praying for yourself as you go through this go through this hard time. Now, so this week we're going to be diving into teachers. Like I said, teachers have already gone back, so we kind of feel like this is important to encourage you, and we have several in our congregation that are teachers. And first off, I just want to thank you for the work that you all do.
Absolutely.
That is a ministry in and of itself. And not only teachers of students in school, mm-hmm. but you know, you've got the teachers who teach our classes here.
Right.
You have administration in schools. You've got the cafeteria workers. You've got all of the staff that are in schools. So really, if you work in a school, if you work with children, but they're not technically your children, then we thank you. Yep. I mean, that is a huge deal. And so we want to thank you for that service that you do. And parents who are about to put on the teacher hat.
Yeah, we got a lot more of that this year.
Yeah. Yep. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, we just thank you for the work that you do.
Yes.
You know, teachers are so important in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell a real quick story about one of my favorite teachers growing up. In sixth grade, now when I was in school back in the day, sixth grade was still elementary school.
Right.
For those kids and teens out there that are watching, if you can believe that, sixth grade was the breaking point for elementary to middle or junior high school. But so my sixth grade teacher, it was great because what we did, we had like every semester, no, it was every 9 weeks.
Hmm.
We were able to, if we had our AR points, which was like an accelerated reader, so you had to read so many points or read so many books and take the tests and then get so many points based off of that. If you met your goal, then you got to have a cool like slumber party, pizza party thing in the classroom. So you could come to school in your pajamas, bring like pillows and blankets.
Nice.
You could build forts with your friends inside of the classroom. You could read a book. You could play video games. Like they let us bring in our Game Boys and play our Game Boys in class.
You're probably gonna have to explain to the teenagers what a Game Boy is.
Yeah, I'll explain to you later.
Yep.
If you don't know what a Game Boy is, get a hold of me because
yep.
I'm very sad for you right now. But yeah, so just the impact that teachers have on our lives, the ability for me to remember a story from back then because of the impact that somebody had. And I've had great teachers mm-hmm. throughout my life. I mean, I've had great piano teachers, I've had great music teachers, I've had great math teachers, just teachers of all shapes and sizes and all subjects. I've had great teachers, great professors in college. And so we just want to honor you right now.
Yep.
And so as we go through this, we're going to kind of give you scripture to use as your prayer. And so what that's going to look like, we're reading a book called The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook.
Right.
And it's written by Adele Calhoun. And she says in it, she says, prayer or praying scripture is a way of entering deeply into the text with a heart alert to a unique and personal word from God. Hmm. Now, we learn, like in the book of Psalm, how important scripture is, how important it is to take on scripture and to read into it. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day."
Yep.
And in the same chapter, 119, verse 111, it says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." And then in verse 114, it says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word."
Hmm.
And so just this idea of taking scripture and utilizing it as a prayer, it's kind of what we're going to equip you with as you go and teach in these schools.
Yeah, and I love that Psalm 119. I'm glad you're using that, because we recognize Psalm 119 because if you've ever been in any type of Bible bowl, any type of Bible trivia game, you always get asked, what's the longest chapter in the Bible? And it's Psalm 119. And the beauty of this psalm is not just it's a great trivia answer for you, but the beauty of this psalm is that the longest chapter, longest psalm in the Bible focuses almost entirely on the importance of scripture and a love for scripture and meditating on scripture. And so it's, I've always found that to be such a good psalm to read through and study. We're going to talk about, in other times what we've just simply done is just simply had our teachers here, had our students here, whoever it might be, and we've kind of prayed over you.
Yeah.
And we are going to do that, but what we also want to do is kind of encourage you and give you a way to pray for yourself. In the days and the weeks ahead, this is a very different time. Mm-hmm. Very different for you, even for those who have been in education and who've been teachers for years. This is just a different year. Yeah. And something like we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And so Every year, I think teachers need encouragement, but especially year, probably even a little bit more. And what we want to do is give you a way to kind of pray for yourself also. And I think what we might notice sometimes is it's hard to know exactly what to pray.
Yeah.
And almost feel like our prayer life can get a little bit dry. And so using scripture is just a great way to kind of fill in that gap and kind of be a good starting point for you to pray with. And so we're going to talk about this idea, a little bit of praying through scripture, and kind of give you a couple scriptures that apply to teaching and kind of pray those scriptures over you. So for me, a scripture that I pray a lot is Psalm 19:14. And I always kind of pray this right before I get up to preach. And as I'm studying to preach, Psalm 19:14 says, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Hmm. And for me as a preacher, I think that's something important, is for me to make sure that what I'm saying and what I'm studying and what I'm doing is right and pleasing to God. And so I kind of pray through that scripture. But we're going to kind of give you some ways of doing that. And there's various ways of praying through scripture and various things that it's called. But one way that we oftentimes hear about is something called Lectio Divina, which I know most people don't have any clue what that means. What it just basically is it's devotional reading. It's reading scripture and praying the scripture. And so it's kind of got an interesting process to it. And I want to talk just very quickly about that process as a way for you to work through this later on. So it begins with just simply being silent before God, just simply coming before God, getting yourself focused on God, relaxed before God, and just kind of slowing down and coming into His presence. As you come in to that time, you might begin by just simply praying to God, saying something along the lines of "Here I am, God. I'm ready to hear what you would say to me through your word."
Now, sorry, real quick, silence. that doesn't just mean like silencing your cell phone.
Right.
That kind of means like silencing your mind, mm-hmm. taking everything. And it's hard to do. It's hard to take those anxieties and push them aside for a little bit.
Yep.
But kind of silencing everything going on and taking that time, like you said, to say, here I am, God.
Yep. And so that might take you just a couple of seconds. That might take you a few minutes. I mean, to just really just focus in on God and put everything else to the side. So that's a good point. And so what you do is you get before God, you silence yourself, you prepare yourself, maybe even pray to God and say, all right, God, I'm ready. Here I am. Use your word in me. And so then the next thing you do is you take the passage of scripture that you have before you and you just simply read it. You read the passage kind of slowly, you read it aloud, and you focus on each word as it comes out. Kind of linger there, kind of meditate on the words, and wait to kind of hear that word that speaks to you, the word or the phrase that might catch your attention. You do that, and then you just take some time, you meditate on that. You think about that, kind of let that stew a little bit and see what comes out. And then you read the scripture again a second time. Once again, you do this slowly, you do it out loud, and you just see what really catches your attention. And it may be a different thing at different times, not really a right or a wrong answer, just simply what catches your attention, and what do you think God is trying to say to you through that. So you read it again, you kind of meditate on it, and then it's at that time that you begin to kind of respond to God. Maybe pray over that scripture. Pray about what it is that you're hearing in that moment. Pray about what it is you think God might be saying to you and ask God to speak and work through that word. And then you read the scripture again at the conclusion of that prayer. And you just take some time and meditate on it again. And after doing all of that, I think it's important to kind of silence yourself again.
Yeah.
And just to kind of rest and let God work that scripture into you, kind of almost massaging that into your soul. And so using that scripture to find peace and comfort and using that scripture maybe as kind of the springboard for what you're praying. You're not just simply going to read the scripture back to God, which you can do and is a very good way to start that prayer, but you might also at that point allow that scripture to then be the starting point for where your prayer is going to go. Mm-hmm. And so I think praying scripture is just, it's a great way, like I said, for me, it's a great way when I need to get out of just going to God and saying, God, this is what I want. God, this is what I need. Yeah. God, do this, bless the things that I want and make my life easy. Or when I come before God and say, I just don't have any clue what to say. And so using scripture to kind of help guide our prayers, I think is a great way to start and a great spiritual practice for us to bring us before God.
Yeah, and I think that with this, like, it's very hard, difficult to pray for myself.
Yep.
Like, it's easy to pray for others. It's easy to say, heal this person or be with this person, but it's more difficult to just, God, I need you. It's kind of like you've got to humble yourself to say, I need you in this moment before you can even do anything, before you can take anything in. Yep. And so you've got to be willing. And that's why we're trying to help equip, especially this week, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We want to equip you with these scriptures to do this prayer.
Yep. And I think you bring up a good point. Just the need to come before God and humble ourselves and silence ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think for me, way too often, I come before God and I immediately jump right into my prayer and I start kind of listing off my wants and my desires, or I open up my Bible and I just start reading and not really with much idea as to where I'm going. So especially before praying or before studying scripture, to just simply stop and realize that we're coming into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And when we're in the presence of God, we need to realize that God is everything and we're nothing.
Yep.
And allow God to be the one that guides and directs those times.
We kind of have to start thinking about the fact that we have the opportunity to come before God. He invites us to do so. He asks us to.
Right.
So we kind of have to realize that. Like whenever I'm invited to something, I was just at a wedding I was invited to this wedding. I was invited to be in this wedding, and it made me feel good.
Right.
I went to it, you know, so why is it so difficult to take the invitation from God to be with Him?
Hmm.
And so I think that's probably step one, is accepting that invitation.
Yep.
So that you can become silent and read and dive in.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So here's what we want to do now.
Mm-hmm.
We want to pray over especially our teachers right now. But I want to kind of pray a couple of scriptures over our teachers, and also kind of encourage our teachers to, and anybody who finds these scriptures, you know, especially
useful.
Meaningful and useful to them, you know, do this same thing. But kind of want to encourage our teachers right now to take these scriptures and not just let me pray them over you now, but write them down. You meditate on these scriptures, come before God in these scriptures. And as you go throughout this school year, especially as this school year is starting up, pray these scriptures into your life and use them as a way of encouragement and a way of kind of guiding you through the inevitable difficult times ahead of you. So the first scripture that I want to think about is Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And this is always a proverb that we talk about a lot with parents. But I think it's also very much something that teachers need to hear also. They talk about how it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And teachers are definitely part of that village.
Absolutely.
And so Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it."
Hmm.
You know, like I said, we use that scripture a lot with parents, but you know, teachers play such an important role in starting children off in the direction that they need to go in life. And for teachers, you know, especially within the public school systems, what that consists of is giving them the skills to live in this life on just a very secular level. But I think also it's important to have Christian teachers in those roles who are starting children off, learning how to use every part of our life as a way of worshiping and honoring God. And so I think teachers play such an important role in that. And so we want to pray that scripture over you all to start children off on the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And I would just encourage you, just keep reading that, keep meditating over that, and wait for the word that hits you, that you hear, that is most meaningful to you. But realize that you play such an important role in getting children going down the path that they need to go for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jacob talked about the impact that that your sixth grade teacher had on you during that time, I mean, still having that impact today. And most of us, you have stories of teachers that you had just impactful moments or impactful times in our lives. And those don't get away from us.
No.
And that kind of influences how we live even still today.
Yeah.
And so you may never completely realize and appreciate and fully understand the impact that you're making on a child's life right now. But know that you're doing such a wonderful ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so once again, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Now, the other verse that I want to take some time to pray over you is Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we just kind of finished this time through the first five books of the Old Testament. And Moses has brought the Israelites to the Promised Land, but he's not going to get to enter into the Promised Land with them. And he's kind of handing off the reins to Joshua to lead them in. And he's speaking to the Israelites during these last few moments with them. And he says, he's telling them about what they're going to face in the Promised Land, that it's not going to be easy. We know it's not going to be easy because the spies came back and gave that report.
Right.
It's not going to be easy, but they know that they've got God going with them. And so he tells the Israelites, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And I think that's important for teachers to understand also, especially this year, as you are trying to figure out how to teach in a time like you have never taught before. And that's got to be overwhelming. That's got to be scary. So much uncertainty about what these first few weeks, what the next year, and who knows how long, what that's going to look like, what teaching is going to look like for you. Mm. And we just want to encourage you and remind you to be strong, to be courageous, that that's what your students need from you, is for you to be strong and courageous for them. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified because of what's ahead of you. I know it is overwhelming, but remember, God is going with you. Even in this, God is going with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Mm. And you serve Him first. And so, like I said, we're going to pray these scriptures over you. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Mm-hmm. And Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Teachers, we love you. We appreciate everything that you're doing. And we just want to encourage you during this time. We want to pray for you. And just, like I said, thank you for what it is that you're doing. So, Jake, do you have anything else before we close in prayer?
I don't think so. I think those are truly great scriptures to remember. I think the be strong and courageous, that's kind of where we all need to be. But, you know, you guys are the leaders. You guys are the leaders of the pack this year. And just go. You're going to be with God. God's going to be with you. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to get through this because of that.
Yep.
So.
All right, well, let's close in prayer. We'll pray these scriptures over you, but I encourage you to write these down, come back to these scriptures, and spend time praying these into your own life as well. So let's pray together. Holy God, we come before you, and we are humbled to know that you would invite us into your presence, that you would want us to be here, that you would want us to come to you with our request, with our needs. And Father, we know that we're able to do that because you are a good Father. We know that you are good and that your love endures forever. God, we know that you have this entire world in your hands, and even though this is a time of so much uncertainty, we know that you're still in control, that you are still God, and nothing has changed that, that you are still the God that brought the Israelites out of Egypt and brought them across the sea and through the wilderness and into the promised land. And you're the same God who holds today, this moment, and everything that's going on in the palm of your hand. God, we know that if you could protect the Israelites and bring them to the promised land, that you will do the same thing for us today. And Father, right now we pray especially for the teachers as they are entering into a school year of so much uncertainty. We pray for all those that are teaching in the school systems, all those that are teaching, you know, kids in person, teaching kids through videos over the internet and interacting with them in new and different ways. We pray for the school administrators. We pray for the parents who are home with their children and teaching them there and helping them to take on a new way of learning. God, we just pray for our teachers. And we pray that you will help them to realize that they do have an important opportunity to train up these children in the way that they should go. We know that they have a great opportunity to do that, and if they will just lean into you and have you guide them in how they should teach these children, that as these children grow older, they won't forget these teachers, they won't forget who they are or the impact they have, and that they will grow up to be the people and the men and women that you would want them to be, they will grow up to be servants in your kingdom because of so many things, including the impact that these teachers will have on their lives. So Father, we pray that you will just encourage these teachers with this word. God, we also pray that you would encourage these teachers as they do come to this time, that they won't be afraid, that they'll stay strong, that they'll stay courageous, and that they'll know that they can overcome the obstacles ahead of them because you're going with them, that you'll never leave them, that you'll never forsake them. So God, we just pray that you will be with these teachers, that you'll encourage them through the tough times ahead, and that you'll allow them to serve you by being teachers, by using this ministry to bring up these young men and women to serve you with every ounce of their being. Father, thank you for these teachers. We love them. We know that you love them. Father, just give them the encouragement they need. We love you so much, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Who was and who is and who